But beyond this temporary world, there is another world of which we have information. That world consists of another nature, which is sanatana, eternal. Jiva is also described as sanatana, eternal. And the Lord is also described as sanatana in the 11th chapter. We have an intimate relationship with the Lord, and because we are all qualitatively one, the sanatana dhamma, or sky, the sanatana supreme personality, and the sanatana living entities. The whole purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to revive our sanatana occupation, or sanatana dharma, which is the eternal occupation of the living entity. We are temporarily engaged in different activities, but all of these activities can be purified when we give up all these temporary activities and take up the activities which are prescribed by the Lord. That is called our pure life. The Supreme Lord and His transcendental abode are both sanatana, as are the living entities. And the combined association of the Supreme Lord and the living entities in the sanatana abode is the perfection of human life. The Lord is very kind to the living entities because they are His sons. Lord Krishna declares in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva yonishu aham bija pradak pita. I am the father of all. Of course, there are all types of living entities according to their various karmas, but here the Lord claims that He is the father of all of them. Therefore, the Lord descends to reclaim all of these fallen conditioned souls, to call them back to the sanatana eternal sky, so that the sanatana living entities may regain their eternal sanatana positions in eternal association with the Lord. The Lord comes Himself in different incarnations, or He sends His confidential servants as sons, or His associates or acharyas to reclaim the conditioned souls. Therefore, sanatana dharma does not refer to any sectarian process of religion. It is the eternal function of the eternal living entities in relationship with the eternal Supreme Lord. Sanatana dharma refers, as stated previously, to the eternal occupation of the living entity. Sripad Ramanujacharya has explained the word sanatana as that which has neither beginning nor end. So when we speak of sanatana dharma, we must take it for granted on the authority of Sripad Ramanujacharya that it has neither beginning nor end. The English word religion is a little different from sanatana dharma. Religion conveys the idea of faith, and faith may change. One may have faith in a particular process, and he may change this faith and adopt another. But sanatana dharma refers to that activity which cannot be changed. For instance, liquidity cannot be taken from water, nor can heat be taken from fire. Similarly, the eternal function of the eternal living entity cannot be taken from the living entity. Sanatana dharma is eternally integral with the living entity. When we speak of sanatana dharma, therefore, we must take it for granted on the authority of Sripad Ramanujacharya that it has neither beginning nor end. That which has neither end nor beginning must not be sectarian, for it cannot be limited by any boundaries. Those belonging to some sectarian faith will wrongly consider that sanatana dharma is also sectarian. But if we go deeply into the matter and consider it in the light of modern science, it is possible for us to see that sanatana dharma is the business of all the people of the world, nay, of all the living entities of the universe. Non-sanatana religious faith may have some beginning in the annals of human history, but there is no beginning to the history of sanatana dharma, because it remains eternally with the living entities. Insofar as the living entities are concerned, the authoritative shastras state that the living entity has neither birth nor death. In the Gita it is stated that the living entity is never born and he never dies. He is eternal and indestructible, and he continues to live after the destruction of his temporary material body. In reference to the concept of sanatana dharma, we must try to understand the concept of religion from the Sanskrit root meaning of the word. Dharma refers to that which is constantly existing with a particular object. We conclude that there is heat and light along with the fire. Without heat and light, there is no meaning to the word fire. Similarly, we must discover the essential part of the living being, that part which is his constant companion. That constant companion is his eternal quality, and that eternal quality is his eternal religion. When Sanatan Goswami asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about the Swarup of every living being, the Lord replied that the Swarup, or constitutional position, of the living being is the rendering of service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we analyze this statement of Lord Chaitanya's, we can easily see that every living being is constantly engaged in rendering service to another living being. A living being serves other living beings in various capacities. By doing so, the living entity enjoys life. The lower animals serve human beings as servants serve their master. A serves B master, B serves C master, and C serves D master, and so on. Under these circumstances, we can see that one friend serves another friend, the mother serves the son, the wife serves the husband serves the wife, and so on. If we go on searching in this spirit, it will be seen that there is no exception in the society of living beings to the activity of service. The politician presents his manifesto for the public to convince them of his capacity for service. The voters therefore give the politician their valuable votes, thinking that he will render valuable service to society. The shopkeeper serves the customer, and the artisan serves the capitalist. The capitalist serves the family, and the family serves the state in the terms of the eternal capacity of the eternal living being. In this way, we can see that no living being is exempt from rendering service to other living beings, and therefore we can safely conclude that service is the constant companion of the living being, and that the rendering of service is the eternal religion of the living being. Yet man professes to belong to a particular type of faith with reference to particular time and circumstances, and thus claims to be a Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Buddhist, or an adherent of another sect. Such designations are non-Sanatan Dharma. A Hindu may change his faith to become a Muslim, or a Muslim may change his faith to become a Hindu, or a Christian may change his faith, and so on. But in all circumstances, the change of religious faith does not affect the eternal occupation of rendering service to others. The Hindu, Muslim, or Christian in all circumstances is servant of someone. Thus, to profess a particular type of faith is not to profess one's Sanatan Dharma. The rendering of service is Sanatan Dharma. Factually, we are related to the Supreme Lord in service. The Supreme Lord is the supreme enjoyer, and we living entities are his servitors. We are created for his enjoyment, and if we participate in that eternal enjoyment with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we become happy. We cannot become happy otherwise. It is not possible to be happy independently, just as no one part of the body can be happy without cooperating with the stomach. It is not possible for the living entity to be happy without rendering transcendental loving service unto the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, worship of different demigods or rendering service to them is not approved. It is stated in the 7th chapter, 20th verse, Kamaistaista Ritangana Papadyanti Devata Tantam Niyamamastaya Prakritya Niyataksaya. Those whose intelligence has been stolen by material desires surrender unto demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. Here it is plainly said that those who are directed by lust worship the demigods and not the Supreme Lord, Krishna. When we mention the name Krishna, we do not refer to any sectarian name. Krishna means the highest pleasure, and it is confirmed that the Supreme Lord is the reservoir or storehouse of all pleasure. We are all hankering after pleasure. Anandamayom Vyasat, Vedanta Sutra 1.1.12. The living entities, like the Lord, are full of consciousness, and they are after happiness. The Lord is perpetually happy. And if the living entities associate with the Lord, cooperate with him, and take part in his association, then they also become happy. The Lord descends to this mortal world to show his pastimes in Vrindavan, which are full of happiness. When Lord Sri Krishna was in Vrindavan, his activities with his cowherd boyfriends, with his damsel friends, with the other inhabitants of Vrindavan, and with the cows, were all full of happiness. The total population of Vrindavan knew nothing but Krishna. But Lord Krishna even discouraged his father Nanda Maharaj from worshipping the demigod Indra, because he wanted to establish the fact that people need not worship any demigod. They need only worship the Supreme Lord, because their ultimate goal is to return to his abode. The abode of Lord Sri Krishna is described in the Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter, 6th verse. Natanpasayate suyo nasasanko napavakaho yadgatpa nanavartande tadndhama padamang mama. That supreme abode of mine is not illumined by the sun or moon, nor by fire or electricity. Those who reach it never return to this material world. This verse gives a description of that eternal sky. Of course, we have a material conception of the sky, and we think of it in relationship to the sun, moon, stars, and so on. But in this verse, the Lord states that in the eternal sky there is no need for the sun, nor for the moon, nor electricity or fire of any kind, because the spiritual sky is already illuminated by the Brahma Jyoti, the rays emanating from the Supreme Lord. We are trying with difficulty to reach other planets, but it is not difficult to understand the abode of the Supreme Lord. This abode is referred to as Goloka. In the Brahma Samhita 537, it is beautifully described. The Lord resides eternally in his abode, Goloka, yet he can be approached from this world, and to this end the Lord comes to manifest his real form, Satchidananda Vigraha. When he manifests this form, there is no need for our imagining what he looks like. To discourage such imaginative speculation, he descends and exhibits himself as he is, as Shyama Sundar. Unfortunately, the less intelligent deride him because he comes as one of us and plays with us as a human being. But because of this, we should not consider the Lord one of us. It is by his omnipotence that he presents himself in his real form before us and displays his pastimes, which are replicas of those pastimes found in his abode. In the effulgent rays of the spiritual sky, there are innumerable planets floating. The Brahma Jyoti emanates from the supreme abode, Krishna Loka, and the Anandamaya, Chinmaya planets, which are not material, float in those rays. The Lord says, Natanbasayate suyo nasasanko napavakaho yadgatanbananavartanti tadndhamapadamang mama. One who can approach that spiritual sky is not required to descend again to the material sky. In the material sky, even if we approach the highest planet, Brahmaloka, what to speak of the moon, we will find the same conditions of life, namely birth, death, disease, and old age. No planet in the material universe is free from these four principles of material existence. The living entities are traveling from one planet to another, but it is not that we can go to any planet we like, merely by a mechanical arrangement. If we desire to go to other planets, there is a process for going there. This is also mentioned. Yanti deva vrata devan pitrin yanti patri vrata. No mechanical arrangement is necessary if we want interplanetary travel. The Gita instructs, Yanti deva vrata devan. The moon, the sun, and higher planets are called Svargaloka. There are three different statuses of planets, higher, middle, and lower planetary systems. The earth belongs to the middle planetary system. Bhagavad Gita informs us how to travel to the higher planetary systems, Devaloka, with a very simple formula. Yanti deva vrata devan. One need only worship the particular demigod of that particular planet, and in that way go to the moon, the sun, or any of the higher planetary systems. Yet Bhagavad Gita does not advise us to go to any of the planets in this material world, because even if we go to Brahmaloka, the highest planet, through some sort of mechanical contrivance by maybe traveling for 40,000 years, and who would live that long, we will still find the material inconveniences of birth, death, disease, and old age. But one who wants to approach the supreme planet, Krishna Loka, or any of the other planets within the spiritual sky, will not meet with these material inconveniences. Amongst all of the planets in the spiritual sky, there is one supreme planet called Goloka Vrindavan, which is the original planet in the abode of the original personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. All of this information is given in Bhagavad Gita, and we are given through its instruction information how to leave the material world and begin a truly blissful life in the spiritual sky. In the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the real picture of the material world is given. It is said there, Udvamulam hadakshakam ashvattam praharavyayam changdangsi yasya parnani yastam vedasavedavit. Here the material world is described as a tree whose roots are upwards and branches are below. We have experience of a tree whose roots are upward. If one stands on the bank of a river or any reservoir of water, he can see that the trees reflected in the water are upside down. The branches go downward and the roots upward. Similarly, this material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. The material world is but a shadow of reality. In the shadow there is no reality or substantiality, but from the shadow we can understand that there are substance and reality. In the desert there is no water, but the mirage suggests that there is such a thing as water. In the material world there is no water, there is no happiness, but the real water of actual happiness is there in the spiritual world. The Lord suggests that we attain the spiritual world in the following manner. Bhagavad Gita 15.5. Nirmana moha jita sangha dosha adhyatma nitya vinavritta kama dvanvaya vimukta sukadukka sangar gacchanja mudha padam avyayam tat. That padam avyayam, or eternal kingdom, can be reached by one who is nirmana moha. What does this mean? We are after designations. Someone wants to become sir. Someone wants to become lord. Someone wants to become the president or a rich man or a king or something else. As long as we are attached to these designations, we are attached to the body, because designations belong to the body. But we are not these bodies, and realizing this is the first stage in spiritual realization. We are associated with the three modes of material nature, but we must become detached through devotional service to the Lord. If we are not attached to devotional service to the Lord, then we cannot become detached from the modes of nature. Designations and attachments are due to our lust and desire, our wanting to lord it over the material nature. As long as we do not give up this propensity of lording it over material nature, there is no possibility of returning to the kingdom of the Supreme, the Sanatana Dhamma. That eternal kingdom, which is never destroyed, can be approached by one who is not bewildered by the attractions of false material enjoyments, who is situated in the service of the Supreme Lord. One so situated can easily approach that supreme abode. Elsewhere in the Gita, 8.21, it is stated, Avyakto kshada ityuktas dhamahu padamam gatim yam prapya nanavartante dhandhama padamam nama. Avyakta means unmanifested. Not even all of the material world is manifested before us. Our senses are so imperfect that we cannot even see all of the stars within this material universe. In Vedic literature, we can receive much information about all the planets, and we can believe it or not believe it. All of the important planets are described in Vedic literatures, especially Srimad Bhagavatam. And the spiritual world, which is beyond this material sky, is described as avyakta, unmanifested. One should desire and hanker after that supreme kingdom, for when one attains that kingdom, he does not have to return to this material world. Next, one may raise the question of how one goes about approaching that abode of the Supreme Lord. Information of this is given in the 8th chapter. It is said there, Andhakale cha mam eva smadan mukva kalevaram yaprayati samadbhavam yati nasyatra sanshayah. Anyone who quits his body at the end of life remembering me attains immediately to my nature, and there is no doubt of this. Bhagavad Gita 8.5. One who thinks of Krishna at the time of his death goes to Krishna. One must remember the form of Krishna. If he quits his body thinking of this form, he surely approaches the spiritual kingdom. Madan Bhavam refers to the supreme nature of the Supreme Being. The Supreme Being is Satchidananda Vigraha. That is, his form is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. Our present body is not Satchidananda. It is Asat, not Sat. It is not eternal, it is perishable. It is not Chit, full of knowledge, but it is full of ignorance. We have no knowledge of the spiritual kingdom, nor do we even have perfect knowledge of this material world, where there are so many things unknown to us. The body is also Nirananda. Instead of being full of bliss, it is full of misery. All of the miseries we experience in the material world arise from the body. But one who leaves this body thinking of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, at once attains a Satchidananda body. The process of quitting this body and getting another body in the material world is also organized. A man dies after it has been decided what form of body he will have in the next life. Higher authorities, not the living entity himself, make this decision. According to our activities in this life, we either rise or sink. This life is a preparation for the next life. If we can prepare, therefore, in this life to get promotion to the kingdom of God, then surely, after quitting this material body, we will attain a spiritual body just like the Lord's. As explained before, there are different kinds of transcendentalists, the Brahmavadi, Paramatmavadi, and the devotee. And, as mentioned, in the Brahmajyoti, spiritual sky, there are innumerable spiritual planets. The number of these planets is far, far greater than all of the planets of this material world. This material world has been approximated as only one quarter of the creation, ekangshena stito jagat. In this material segment there are millions and billions of universes with trillions of planets and suns, stars and moons. But this whole material creation is only a fragment of the total creation. Most of the creation is in the spiritual sky. One who desires to merge into the existence of the Supreme Brahman is at once transferred to the Brahmajyoti of the Supreme Lord and thus attains the spiritual sky. The devotee, who wants to enjoy the association of the Lord, enters into the Vaikuntha planets, which are innumerable. And the Supreme Lord, by his plenary expansions as Narayan with four hands and with different names like Prajumna, Aniruddha, and Govinda, associates with him there. Therefore, at the end of life, the transcendentalists think either of the Brahmajyoti, the Paramatma, or Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. In all cases, they enter into the spiritual sky, but only the devotee, or he who is in personal touch with the Supreme Lord, enters into the Vaikuntha planets, or the Goloka Vrindavan planet. The Lord further adds that of this there is no doubt. This must be believed firmly. We should not reject that which does not tally with our imagination. Our attitude should be that of Arjuna. I believe everything that you have said. Therefore, when the Lord says that at the time of death, whoever thinks of him as Brahman or Paramatma or as the personality of Godhead certainly enters into the spiritual sky, there is no doubt about it. There is no question of disbelieving it. The Bhagavad Gita 8.6 also explains the general principle that makes it possible to enter the spiritual kingdom simply by thinking of the Supreme at the time of death. Yam yam vapi smadam bhavam jajat jante kalevaram tam tame vaiti kundeya sadatad bhava bhavitaha. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his present body, in his next life he will attain to that state without fail. Now, first we must understand that material nature is a display of one of the energies of the Supreme Lord. In the Vishnu Purana 6.7.61, the total energies of the Supreme Lord are delineated. Vishnu Shakti Pada Prokta Chetra Gyakya Tathapara Avidya Karma Sanganya Tritiya Shakti Rishyate. The Supreme Lord has diverse and innumerable energies which are beyond our conception. However, great learned sages or liberated souls have studied these energies and have analyzed them into three parts. All of the energies are of Vishnu Shakti, that is to say, they are different potencies of Lord Vishnu. The first energy is Para, transcendental. Living entities also belong to the superior energy, as has already been explained. The other energies, or material energies, are in the mode of ignorance. At the time of death, either we can remain in the inferior energy of this material world, or we can transfer to the energy of the spiritual world. So the Bhagavad Gita 8.6 says, Yang vapi smadang bhavam chajat jante kalivaram tang tame vaiti kunteya sadatan bhava bhavitaha. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his present body, in his next life he will attain to that state without fail. In life, we are accustomed to thinking either of the material or of the spiritual energy. Now, how can we transfer our thoughts from the material energy to the spiritual energy? There are so many literatures which fill our thoughts with the material energy, newspapers, magazines, novels, etc. Our thinking, which is now absorbed in these literatures, must be transferred to the Vedic literatures. The great sages, therefore, have written so many Vedic literatures, such as the Puranas. The Puranas are not imaginative, they are historical records. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 20.122, there is the following verse. Maya mugda jive nahi swata krishna gyan jive re kripaya kaile krishna ved puran. The forgetful living entities or conditioned souls have forgotten their relationship with the Supreme Lord, and they are engrossed in thinking of material activities. Just to transfer their thinking power to the spiritual sky, Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas has given a great number of Vedic literatures. First, he divided the Vedas into four. Then he explained them in the Puranas. And for less capable people, he wrote the Mahabharata. In the Mahabharata, there is given the Bhagavad Gita. Then all Vedic literature is summarized in the Vedanta Sutra. And for future guidance, he gave a natural commentation on the Vedanta Sutra called Srimad Bhagavatam. We must always engage our minds in reading these Vedic literatures. Just as materialists engage their minds in reading newspapers, magazines, and so many materialistic literatures, we must transfer our reading to these literatures, which are given to us by Vyasadeva. In that way, it will be possible for us to remember the Supreme Lord at the time of death. That is the only way suggested by the Lord, and he guarantees the result. There is no doubt. Antasmat sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmadayunyacha mayarpata mano buddhi mame vaishyasya sanshayaha. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna and at the same time continue your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. Bhagavad Gita 8.7. Krishna does not advise Arjuna simply to remember him and give up his occupation. No, the Lord never suggests anything impractical. In this material world, in order to maintain the body, one has to work. Human society is divided, according to work, into four divisions of social order: Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. The Brahman class, or intelligent class, is working in one way. The Kshatriya, or administrative class, is working in another way. And the mercantile class and the laborers are all tending to their specific duties. In the human society, whether one is a laborer, merchant, administrator, or farmer, or even if one belongs to the higher class and is a literary man, a scientist, or a theologian, he has to work in order to maintain his existence. The Lord therefore tells Arjuna that he need not give up his occupation, but while he is engaged in his occupation, he should remember Krishna, mamanusmara. If he doesn't practice remembering Krishna while he is struggling for existence, then it will not be possible for him to remember Krishna at the time of death. Lord Chaitanya also advises this. He says, Kirtaniya Sadahari. one should practice chanting the names of the Lord always. The names of the Lord and the Lord are non-different. So Lord Krishna's instructions to Arjuna to remember me and Lord Chaitanya's injunction to always chant the names of Lord Krishna are the same instruction. There is no difference, because Krishna and Krishna's name are non-different. In the absolute status, there is no difference between reference and referent. Therefore, we have to practice remembering the Lord always, 24 hours a day, by chanting his names and molding our life's activities in such a way that we can remember him always. How is this possible? The Acharyas give the following example. If a married woman is attached to another man, or if a man has an attachment for a woman other than his wife, then the attachment is to be considered very strong. One with such an attachment is always thinking of the loved one. The wife who is thinking of her lover is always thinking of meeting him, even while she is carrying out her household chores. In fact, she carries out her household work even more carefully so her husband will not suspect her attachment. Similarly, we should always remember the Supreme Lover, Sri Krishna, and at the same time perform our material duties very nicely. A strong sense of love is required here. If we have a strong sense of love for the Supreme Lord, then we can discharge our duty and at the same time remember him. But we have to develop that sense of love. Arjuna, for instance, was always thinking of Krishna. He was the constant companion of Krishna, and at the same time, he was a warrior. Krishna did not advise him to give up fighting and go to the forest to meditate. When Lord Krishna delineates the yoga system to Arjuna, Arjuna says that the practice of the system is not possible for him. Arjuna huvacha yoyam yogastraya prokta samyena madhusudana etasyaham na pasyami chanchalatvat sthitam sthiram. Arjuna said, O Madhusudana, the system of yoga which you have summarized appears impractical and unendurable to me, for the mind is restless and unsteady. Bhagavad Gita 6:33. But the Lord says, Yoginam abhisarvesham madgate nam taratmana shadhavan bhajate yomam same yuktatamo mataha. Of all yogis, the one with great faith who always abides in me, thinks of me within himself, and renders transcendental loving service to me, is the most intimately united with me in yoga, and is the highest of all. That is my opinion. Bhagavad Gita 6:47. So, one who thinks of the Supreme Lord always is the greatest yogi, the supermost jnani, and the greatest devotee at the same time. The Lord further tells Arjuna that as a kshatriya he cannot give up his fighting. But if Arjuna fights remembering Krishna, then he will be able to remember Krishna at the time of death. But one must be completely surrendered in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. We work not with our body, actually, but with our mind and intelligence. So if the intelligence and the mind are always engaged in the thought of the Supreme Lord, then naturally the senses are also engaged in his service. Superficially, at least, the activities of the senses remain the same, but the consciousness is changed. The Bhagavad Gita teaches one how to absorb the mind and intelligence in the thought of the Lord. Such absorption will enable one to transfer himself to the kingdom of the Lord. If the mind is engaged in Krishna's service, then the senses are automatically engaged in his service. This is the art, and this is also the secret of Bhagavad Gita: total absorption in the thought of Sri Krishna. Modern man has struggled very hard to reach the moon, but he has not tried very hard to elevate himself spiritually. If one has 50 years of life ahead of him, he should engage that brief time in cultivating this practice of remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This practice is the devotional process. Shravanam kirtanam Vishnu smadanam parasevanam archanam vandanam dasyam sakyam atmanivedanam. Srimad Bhagavatam 7:5-23. These nine processes, of which the easiest is Shravanam, hearing the Bhagavad Gita from the realized person, will turn one to the thought of the Supreme Being. This will lead to remembering the Supreme Lord and will enable one, upon leaving the body, to attain a spiritual body which is just fit for association with the Supreme Lord. The Lord further says, Abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasana nigamina paramam purusham divyam yati partanuchintayan. He who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Arjun, is sure to reach me. Bhagavad Gita 8:8. This is not a very difficult process. However, one must learn it from an experienced person. Tadvijnanartam sagurum evabhigacchet. One must approach a person who is already in the practice. The mind is always flying to this and that, but one must practice concentrating the mind always on the form of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, or on the sound of his name. The mind is naturally restless, going hither and thither, but it can rest in the sound vibration of Krishna. One must thus meditate on Padamam Purusham, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual kingdom, the spiritual sky, and thus attain him. The ways and the means for ultimate realization, ultimate attainment, are stated in the Bhagavad Gita, and the doors of this knowledge are open for everyone. No one is barred out. All classes of men can approach Lord Krishna by thinking of him, for hearing and thinking of him are possible for everyone. The Lord further says, Bhagavad Gita 9:32-33, Mam hi parta vipashitya yepi su papayonaya striyo vaishyas tata shudras tepi yandiparangatim tumbana brahmana punya bhakta raja shayas tata anityam sukham lokam imam prapya bhajasvamam. Thus the Lord says that even a merchant, a fallen woman, or a laborer, or even human beings in the lowest status of life, can attain the Supreme. One does not need highly developed intelligence. The point is that anyone who accepts the principle of Bhakti Yoga and accepts the Supreme Lord as the summum bonum of life, as the highest target, the ultimate goal, can approach the Lord in the spiritual sky. If one adopts the principles enunciated in Bhagavad Gita, he can make his life perfect and make a permanent solution to all the problems of life. This is the sum and substance of the entire Bhagavad Gita. In conclusion, Bhagavad Gita is a transcendental literature which one should read very carefully. Gita Shastram Idam Punyam Yakpater Prayatak Puman. If one properly follows the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, one can be freed from all the miseries and anxieties of life. Vaya Shokadi Varjitaha. One will be freed from all fears in this life, and one's next life will be spiritual. Gita Mahatmya 1. There is also a further advantage. Gita Dhyatyana Shilasya Pranayama Parasya Cha Naiva Santihi Papani Bhuva Janma Kritani Cha. If one reads Bhagavad Gita very sincerely and with all seriousness, then by the grace of the Lord the reactions of his past misdeeds will not act upon him. Gita Mahatmya 2. The Lord says very loudly in the last portion of Bhagavad Gita, 1866, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayasyami ma shuchaho. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Thus the Lord takes all responsibility for one who surrenders unto him, and he indemnifies such a person against all reactions of sins. Maline mochanam pungsam jalasnanam dine dine sakrin gitamritasnanam sangsara malanashanam. One may cleanse himself daily by taking a bath in water, but if one takes a bath even once in the sacred Ganges water of Bhagavad Gita, for him the dirt of material life is altogether vanquished. Gita Mahatmya 3. Gita Sugita Kartavya Kamanyai Shastra Vistarai Yasvayam Padmanabhasya Mukhapadmadvanisrita. Because Bhagavad Gita is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one need not read any other Vedic literature. One need only attentively and regularly hear and read Bhagavad Gita. In the present age, people are so absorbed in mundane activities that it is not possible for them to read all the Vedic literatures. But this is not necessary. This one book, Bhagavad Gita, will suffice, because it is the essence of all Vedic literatures, and especially because it is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Gita Mahatma 4. As it is said, Bhartamita sarvasvam Vishnu Vaktra Vinistritam Gita Gango Dakam Pitnva Punarjanma Navidyate. One who drinks the water of the Ganges attains salvation. So what to speak of one who drinks the nectar of Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita is the essential nectar of the Mahabharat, and it is spoken by Lord Krishna himself, the original Vishnu. Gita Mahatma 5. Bhagavad Gita comes from the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Ganges is said to emanate from the lotus feet of the Lord. Of course, there is no difference between the mouth and the feet of the Supreme Lord, but from an impartial study, we can appreciate that Bhagavad Gita is even more important than the water of the Ganges. Sarva Upanishado Gavo Dogdha Gopala Nandana Bharto Vatsa Sudhir Bhokta Dugdham Gitamritam Mahat. This Gita Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita, the essence of all the Upanishads, is just like a cow. And Lord Krishna, who is famous as a cowherd boy, is milking this cow. Arjuna is just like a calf, and learned scholars and pure devotees are to drink the nectarian milk of Bhagavad Gita. Gita Mahatma 6. Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantrastasya Nama Niyani Karma Pyekam Tasya Devasya Seva. Gita Mahatma 7. In this present day, people are very much eager to have one scripture, one God, one religion, and one occupation. Therefore, Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam. Let there be one scripture only, one common scripture for the whole world, Bhagavad Gita. Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva. Let there be one God for the whole world, Sri Krishna. Eko Mantrastasya Namani. And one hymn, one mantra, one prayer, the chanting of his name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Karmyapekam tasya devasya seva. And let there be one work only, the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The disciplic succession. Evam parampara praptam imam raja sayovadu. Bhagavad Gita 4.2. This Bhagavad Gita, as it is received through this disciplic succession. From Krishna to Brahma, Narada, Vyas, Madhva, Padmanabha, Nirhari, Madhava, Akshobhya, Jayatirtha, Jnanasindhu, Dayanidhi, Vidyanidhi, Rajendra, Jayadharma, Purushottama, Brahmanyatirtha, Vyastirtha, Lakshmipati, Madhavendra Puri, Ishwarapuri, Nityananda Advaita, Lord Chaitanya, Rupa, Sarupa, Sanatan, Raghunath, Jiva, Krishnadas, Narottama, Vishwanath, Baladev, Jagannath, Bhaktivinod, Gorkishore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 1. Observing the Armies on the Battlefield of Kurukshetra. Text 1. Dhritarashtra huvacha dharmakchetre kurukshetre samaveta yuyutsavah mamaka pandavaschaiva kimakuvata sanjaya. Dhritarashtra said, O Sanjaya, after my sons and the sons of Pandu assembled in the place of pilgrimage at Kurukshetra, desiring to fight, what did they do? Purport. Bhagavad Gita is the widely read theistic science summarized in the Gita Mahatmya, the glorification of the Gita. There it says that one should read Bhagavad Gita very scrutinizingly with the help of a person who is a devotee of Sri Krishna, and try to understand it without personally motivated interpretations. The example of clear understanding is there in the Bhagavad Gita itself, in the way the teaching is understood by Arjuna, who heard the Gita directly from the Lord. If someone is fortunate enough to understand Bhagavad Gita in that line of disciplic succession, without motivated interpretation, then he surpasses all studies of Vedic wisdom and all scriptures of the world. One will find in the Bhagavad Gita all that is contained in other scriptures, but the reader will also find things which are not to be found elsewhere. That is the specific standard of the Gita. It is the perfect theistic science because it is directly spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. The topics discussed by Dhritarashtra and Sanjaya, as described in the Mahabharata, form the basic principle for this great philosophy. It is understood that this philosophy evolved on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, which is a sacred place of pilgrimage from the immemorial time of the Vedic age. It was spoken by the Lord when he was present personally on this planet for the guidance of mankind.